Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 9. You're listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. My name is Habib Bobad, and inshallah I'll be keeping you company this morning right up till 10 a.m. Alhamdulillah, this morning we do have Maulana Ibrahim Bam in the studios of Radio Islam International, and inshallah we'll be doing the program with him. And we are continuing with the book Enjoy Your Life, and Maulana will be telling us more about today's program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And assalamu alaikum to all the listeners. Alhamdulillah, it is very, very refreshing and good to be back on the airways of Radio Islam after an absence of 2 weeks. And our last program that we did, we spoke about purifying your intention for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while it did seem that from the title that it was about sincerity of intention, however, it is also something that was dealing with on what basis do you keep your relationships? Mm. What is the reasons why you keep relationships? And of course, we know that today people keep relations for different motives. Sometimes people keep it for their own personal motives, etc. And that would be very unfortunate. We did look into that particular aspect, and alhamdulillah, we had received many, many callers who had shared their sentiments with us. And also, the author had spoken in that chapter about the importance of akhlaq, and he gave many examples that deen is not only based on salat, ibadat, aqaid, etc. He quoted the hadith of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most complete in faith are those who are best in their character, those who are easy to socialize with, and those who get along with others and others get along with them. There is no good in the one who cannot get along with others and others cannot get along with him. And then also there is nothing heavier on the scales of good deeds than good character and good manners. And those are the type of things that the author had spoken about in the topic in which we had explored. In the discussion today in the next chapter, which is chapter number 17, use the right flavor. Mm-hmm. Very important. How do we use the right flavor in terms of words, attitudes, in dealing with the different type of people we have relationships with? Maybe something that people can sharpen their minds towards. How do you deal with different people who have different temperaments and who are different in their outlooks? And how do you as an individual have to keep good relationship with all different types of people? How do you hone your skills in using the right flavor to deal with different types of people with different attitudes? So maybe you can start thinking about it, and inshallah we will give examples from the life of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he dealt with people according to their temperaments, inshallah. We will do this after the break, and I'm sure we will get response from people who will share their life experiences with us.
Yes, chapter 17, use the right flavor of the book, Enjoy Your Life, and inshallah we'll be taking your feedback throughout the program on the numbers 48855, that's 48855. Alternatively, the WhatsApp number for the studio, 072-786-1548 or tweet Maulana Bam at Ibrahim Bam. Stay tuned to Radio Islam International. It is a social program, and we are discussing chapter 17 of the book Enjoy Your Life by Dr. Al-Arifi, and a very lengthy chapter, about 20 pages, and the author has expounded quite a bit on this topic, and alhamdulillah we will also be taking from those examples, and Maulana will be elaborating on them. Maulana, perhaps we could start off with the chapter, Maulana.
Yes, Maulana, the author has started off the chapter by saying there are things which people unanimously love and appreciate and things which they unanimously dislike. There are also things which people differ. And some, for example, may be appreciative of those things and some might find it cumbersome. Hence, everyone loves to be smiled at and hates to be frowned at. Yet, in terms of attitude, some people like jokes. Some people might not, and I know where I fit in. Some people may like visiting others, while others tend to prefer staying and being alone. Mm. Some people may love to talk excessively, while some people will find excessive talk somewhat cumbersome, and they'll find it irritable when someone talks too much. Often, people feel comfortable with those of the same nature as themselves. So why not be pleasing to people of all natures? So some people like to be with people of their own type of temperament, even if their temperament is good. They are together in their temperament, but they are from different backgrounds. And of course, the author gives us an example of once he saw a falcon flying next to a crow. And he found that, now how is this? Falcon is a very regal animal, an animal of grace and elegance, whereas a crow is regarded to be not something that is graceful, elegant, is normally associated with being irritable, picking up the dirt of people, being in somewhat cumbersome upon people. And he was wondering that how can the most regal of all birds be flying with a crow which is not regarded to be as such, so regal and so elegant. And then when they came down, he realized that the reason why they were flying together, lo and behold, they were both crippled. So the fact that they were both crippled gave them enough
common
grounds to be able to fly together, although they were from different backgrounds. So I suppose he has used this example to say why people would club together, we would be with one another, even if they come from different backgrounds, because they have similar temperaments. So some people would like to joke, so they will have common ground, common friendship. They will go out together because they have similar interests and they share similar type of things. And now, from there he goes on. Now from there, after using that as a basis, and I'm sure listeners would be able to identify with that people are different in terms of the temperament, some introvert, some extrovert, some who love jokes, some who don't like jokes, some who like type of laughter, some people who like excessive conversations. And I can immediately as I can speak, I can just sort of look at the landscape of my family and know exactly that who love conversations, who don't love conversation, who are introvert, who are extrovert, who have different type of temperaments within your own family circles, your close family circles, and outside there, who is sensitive, who is ultra sensitive, you immediately know. So you deal with them in accordance with that. Hence, for example, he says, if someone knows that his father prefers silence to excessive talk, then let him deal with his father accordingly in order to gain his love. So if you know your father loves talking, then go and talk to your father from time to time. Maybe he needs someone to give him company. And if you know that he doesn't love to talk so much, then adopt silence when you come in his presence. If a wife knows that her husband loves jokes, then let her joke with him. If she discovers the opposite, then she should avoid joking with him. The same, although it does create a problem when, for example, the wife loves jokes and the husband doesn't. So how do the two get together? So maybe we have to come down to a middle ground. And similarly, the same can be said about a man dealing with his colleagues, neighbors and brothers. Do not think for a moment that people are all of the same nature, for they differ, come in various varieties. And I can add, maybe come in various packages.
Right.
So you have all these type of situation. Now, he gives a very beautiful example. And when I read this last night, I must say that I also smiled. And I'll tell you the reason why I smiled. I recall that a righteous old lady who happens to be the mother of a friend of mine would praise one of her sons lavishly. She had many sons. And some of the sons, amazingly, used to do more materially and wealth point of view than the son that she lavished praise upon, whom she loved the most. She would always be happy whenever he visited and conversed with her. Even though the rest of her sons and daughters were also kind to her, her heart was attached to this one son in particular. And I would wonder about this. So one day I asked my friend, why your mother, after having so many different children, why does your mother like you so much comparative to other brothers and sisters? And what have you done to win over the attention and the love and the kindness of your mother? So he said, the problem is that my brothers do not comprehend my mother's nature. They become too cumbersome for her to bear whenever they sit with her. So when they come to her, they look upon her and they show respect to her. They talk to her accordingly. They don't open up with her. They are not informal with her. And so I asked jokingly, so your highness, you were the only one able to discover her nature. So he laughed and said, yes, allow me to tell you the secret. My mother, like any other age woman, mother, women who have a particular age, likes to talk about womanly issues such as what is happening in the community. Who got married, who got divorced, how many sons so and so has, who is the eldest, what is the name of the first child, how did the first child look, was it a boy and girl who got born, and what is the name of the first child. So all the other brothers and sisters considered this frivolous. But she just loves chatting about it. So when they go in the company of my mother, they talk serious things. They don't talk about the panchat of the whole situation. Maybe panchat might be a little bit of an extreme word. It might not necessarily be panchat. It might not necessarily be gossip. It might be something that...
Catching up on what's happening.
And I think old people perhaps prefer that more than what young people do. And when the young people went in the presence of the mother, they didn't understand that what the mother was looking. I understood that. And whenever I sit with her, I instigated such conversation, and she became elated and continued to speak ceaselessly, and she used to love me. Now, the reason why I laughed and smiled was that amongst my elders, my nanny, my mother's mother, was very fond of one of my mamajis. Now, we had two mamajis, but the one mamaji who was an elder, perhaps understood this nature of my nanny. And he used to come and speak about what's happening in the community. And my maternal grandmother used to just love it. You know, and she became attached to this mamaji, to this maternal uncle, to a great degree. And when I read this, that whole particular memory came into my mind that, you know, why perhaps my maternal grandmother loved this maternal uncle because of that reason, because he used to come and discuss those type of issues with her. And whereas the other maternal uncle was perhaps more on the serious side, and maybe didn't discuss it to that level. So when I looked at this, there's a reason why I smiled. And I say that, look at how beautifully he has captured it. So to deal with people according to their temperaments. And I don't know if, I'm sure that many listeners would just have similar type of experiences. How do you deal with people in accordance with their nature, their temperament? And it is such an important part of interpersonal skills. And bear in mind that this book has been to take lessons from Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life on interacting with people. And I think it's a fascinating topic, fascinating subject. And some of the examples you will give, inshallah, we will just elaborate more on this.
Yes, chapter 17, using the right flavor, and the author is emphasizing the different strokes for different people. You need to glean, and you need to try to understand that what makes the opposite person tick, and use that to your advantage. That's what the author is saying. So some people are cold-hearted, some people are silent, some people are extroverts, some people are ambiverts. So you need to find out what makes him tick, and then use that to converse with the person. So if you know, like Mullah Bam, when he comes into the studios, he knows he just likes soccer. So he teases him about soccer. That's how they get along. So they crack a joke here and there.
The first thing I asked him, where's Ijaz? And I'm very happy to hear that he's gone for Umrah. May Allah Ta'ala accept his Umrah, mashallah.
Mullah Bam would know each person's trait, and accordingly he would ask, mashallah, what's happening. So that's what we are talking about today.
0118541548.
We're talking about cricket nowadays. Shame, they've gone long time, Marana. 0118541548 or 48855. Alternatively, tweet Mullah Bam at Ibrahim Bam. Well, this is important in a family setup. I mean, let's just look at a new daughter-in-law story. Comes into the family and she tries to understand the temperaments of everyone in the family. And then she needs to understand that some are easygoing, some are difficult, some she will get along with. So she doesn't have to change anybody. She just needs to adapt to each one's personality and accordingly make adjustment, and she will be happy also. You know?
Let us look at our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. Whoever looks at the way Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with people would realize that he would deal with everyone in accordance with their personality and their temperaments. Even when he would deal with his wives, he would do so on the basis of each other. Now, who doesn't know about this beautiful example? Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was very much of an extrovert. And so Nabi Karim Sawaskam would often joke with her. Once she went with him on a journey, and on the way back as they approached Medina Munawwara, the Prophet Sawaskam said to the people who were with him on the journey, "You continue and leave us behind for a while." The people carried on, and Nabi Karim Sawaskam remained with his Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. At that time, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was a young and energetic girl Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned to her and said, come, let's race. And they raced. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala outraced Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in terms of speed, because she was still young and she was energetic and she could outrace Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. After some time, she went out again with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on another journey. But now she had grown and she had put up some weight. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the people, carry on, and they did. He then said to Aisha, come, let us race. They raced, and this time Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam won. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then started to joke about it as he patted her on her back, saying, this was for last time. The last time you beat me, and this time I have defeated you. Now, this was how he dealt with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, who was keen, young, energetic, according to her status and according to her temperament. Whereas on the other hand, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with other wives of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very differently. He dealt with Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala, who was matured, in some ways she was more dignified. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with her like that. And in a similar manner, he would deal very differently with Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, as she was 15 years his senior. So if you can look at this example, how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with different people in his own household, then we can imagine that how much we must bring this into our life. Obviously, our life, we can't bring it in the marriage context, we can bring it in a broader context. That how do you deal with people in your own family who have different temperaments? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with each and everyone, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood that. Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala was prone to anger, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with her accordingly. And we find that Hazrat Safiya radiallahu ta'ala was a Jewish woman who came into an Arab family, and from time to time people used to remark with regard to her. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took extra pains to make her feel comfortable in a new household. So many a times when there was a situation when she cried, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wipe off her tears. So these were aspects of how did he deal with different people in his own household, given that Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had 11 wives. Of course, obviously two of them had passed away, so 9 at the time when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had departed from this world. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take that into consideration when dealing with his wives, how they were, and deal with them accordingly. He would also, for example, in a similar manner with his companions, deal with them in accordance with their temperament. He would not deal with Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, as he would deal with Hazrat Khalid radiallahu ta'ala. And he would not deal with others the way he would deal with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala or Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. He would deal with Umar radiallahu ta'ala very, very differently. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew each and everyone's temperament.
SubhanAllah.
And for example, this give you two quick examples with regard to it, right? Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting casually. Hazrat Abu Bakr seek permission and he comes, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sits casually. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows Abu Bakr wouldn't be offended if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam deals with them on a casual basis. So he's sitting, and the lungi is slightly lifted up, the shins is exposed, not beyond the knees, but below the knees. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is talking informally. Umar radiallahu ta'ala comes, Umar radiallahu ta'ala says and seeks permission. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said so. So Aisha is observing this. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala comes, knocks on the door. Who is it? Uthman. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately gets up and straightens himself, sits more formally. As Aisha notices after they have gone, Ya Rasulullah, what have you done? Why? You sat so casually with Abu Bakr and Umar. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala came, you sat up properly, you kept your lungi properly, you sat more formally. He said, why should I not show shame and modesty to the one whom even the angels show modesty to? He took into example that aspect of Uthman, and the way even he sat took into account the nature of Uthman.
SubhanAllah.
Such a great example.
MashaAllah. It's 9:31. You are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International. We have two callers online. Let's go to them. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, Mawlana?
Alhamdulillah.
And how are you, Mawlana Bam?
Alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala's fazl and grace.
What a beautiful program, Mawlana. I'm so happy that Mawlana has come back after a long time. I'd like to say something, Mawlana. The days now, the people now are very different. The olden days were very nice, and the whole family, when you get married to, even your in-laws or your brother-in-laws, we used to all sit together, talk, laugh and everything. But today people has got no time, especially for the old people. All have their laptops, wherever you go, it's cell phones busy. But even when you go and visiting, two people are mostly with their cell phone. But today is more jealousy, more hatred, and no love at all. I also like to say, I wish that my children also can become like we used to be in the olden days. Now that they are big, they hardly visit me. They come, they just say, Salaam Alaikum, and they are gone. But the olden days when we are all together, we should sit together, eat together, talk together. I wish those days will really come back. Now the only time that someone was with me is my brother. And my sister is very sick. She hardly comes out. Inshallah, Allah Pak, bless you, Mawlana.
Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And Radio Islam, inshallah, from sin to sin. We have learned a lot. And I wish Allah Pak rewards all the Radio Islam presenters, Mawlana's Ali Karim. And may Radio Islam be from sin to sin, inshallah.
Sister,
Allah Pak, there are so many sick people at Mawlana. We make dua for them all, inshallah, Allah give them all.
Jazakumullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Let's go to the second caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum, Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam. Ji, apa?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You live on air, apa?
Yes, Mulana. I just want to say, you know, with the subject in mind, we do not have to look very far. When we look at our own children, of course, all of them are not the same, and when guiding or admonishing them, then we use each a different tactic with each child. And also, Mulana, you know, apart from your piety as you grow older, your degree of tolerance also must increase with regards to different matters in different households. And then also, Mulana, you know, maybe we should look at the classes for the art of diplomacy.
Yes.
Because it's very important in all aspects of life to be able to know when to speak, how to speak, and what to speak.
It's such an important thing, because some of the other, the older people have that wisdom. Younger people perhaps don't have the patience. And maybe the older people should share that wisdom with the younger people to be able, how do you get... But of course, the younger people do get very quickly distressed.
Maybe the first sister, Mulana, the solution to a problem, she must provide free Wi-Fi in her house. When the children come, so they'll come more often to the house. Nani's house got free Wi-Fi. So they'll come more often and spend more time, mashallah.
The definition of a good neighbor who allows you access to his Wi-Fi code.
9:34, you are listening to the social program. We are going to go for a quick commercial break. When we return, inshallah, we'll continue. 22 minutes to the hour of 10, you are listening to the social program on Radio Islam International, and we are discussing chapter 17 of the book, Enjoy Your Life, and the chapter reads this morning, use the right flavor. You need to understand what makes the opposite person tick and use that. So if you are speaking to doctors, learn a few words before you go into conversation with them. Learn about few basic concepts about medicine, about the field of medicine, etc. So when you're talking to them, they feel like, oh, this man actually came prepared to talk to me. He's taking interest in my profession. He feels honored. And you're going to speak to a youngster who likes cricket or Xbox. You don't have to play it, but learn a few things about it. When you go sitting with the youngster, ask him how's the Xbox and what's happening in the latest game, he feels honored. Somebody likes fishing, talk to them about fishing. So, adjusting to the temperament of people. There's also the flip side, Manana. The other extreme is people must adjust to my temperament. That's how I am. If they don't like me, they must go find somebody else. That's one other way of approaching things, Manana.
Well, I think they must be give and take. I mean, we quoted the hadith of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the most complete in faith are those best in their character, those who are easy to socialize with, and those who get along with others and get others get along with them. If you take that particular approach that people must adapt themselves to befriend me, then you might end up becoming, well, maybe you might be able to determine that, because you might have a social position in the family or position in the community, maybe because of your influence or other factors. But then a time might come that people might do it for reasons of your wealth and influence, but then afterwards what happens? And of course, as we quoted this, the hadith, Nabi Karim Sallam said, the best of people are those who are easy to socialize with. People get along with them and they get along with people. So it's not only people must get along with you, you are also supposed to adapt to get along with other people also.
Exactly.
So I think that particular aspect is a rather selfish type of aspect. So my this stuff would be that, you know, each and everyone, not only do you expect people to change according to your temperament, you also change according to the temperament. If everyone does that, everyone must change according to my temperament, then a time will come that they will do it, but after a while they also will get tired. So you also need to make the necessary change. And how our beloved Nabi Karim Sallam, when you look at Nabi Sallam, he was the greatest human being created by Allah. The Nabi of Allah, not Nabi of people, Nabi of Anbiya, the Nabi of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But yet, he saw the need to make changes according to people's temperaments.
That's
I gave you the example of Usman radiallahu ta'ala. Usman radiallahu ta'ala would not have objected, but he took into account his temperament and he behaved according to his temperament. I mean, another example was that it was, I think, on Eid day or occasion of happiness when the Ansari girls were chanting some poetry and they were making some noise with cans. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came and they continued doing so, and they were, you know, singing poetry in front of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam and in front of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu came, and the moment the small girls saw Umar radiallahu anhu, they scattered helter skelter in different directions. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, you know, O enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you young girls, you saw me and you skelter, you ran different directions in front of the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who was greater than me. You didn't do anything. You continue singing poetry. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Umar, leave them. You are such a person that when you take a path, even Iblis takes another path. So, I mean, never mind, Umar, leave. Now look at that example, how the girls, they sang poetry in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in front of Abu Bakr. There must have been some clinging of cans. Maybe there were some stones that were put in cans and they were making a little bit of a noise. And Nabi Karim sallam allowed it. But Umar radiallahu anhu came. Now Nabi sallam didn't say, Umar, you come and make things. He just took it into the stride, understood that Umar radiallahu anhu's temperament and his personality was such that the moment he walked into a gathering, there was a certain degree of awe that came into that gathering. Not that he was greater than Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard one of the bayans of Maulana Umar Palanpuri, you know, rahmatullah alayhi, who one day gave this example, and then he quoted and he said, does it mean that Umar was greater than Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He said, no. So he gave an example of a person, a small child. And that's what a beautiful example. May Allah ta'ala fill his qabr with nur. And he said he gave the example of a small child, say 4 years of old, who only the discipline that child knows is the mother's champal. Every time you misbehave, the mother is going to give her one or two slaps on the back or whatever. And someone comes and said that the child is making a noise. And someone comes and said, you know, the visitor in the house, he's a superintendent of the police. And you don't make a noise because he's very, very powerful. And he's a superintendent of the police. And he can arrest, and he arrests people, and he takes them to task, and he takes them to jail if they do something that is wrong. Now she, a small child, would not understand the superintendent or the police. But if that child, the mother, she just give her a look, she immediately keep quiet because she is now worried about the discipline the mother might mete out. So I think in a similar manner, this is the Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Umar, I remember this beautiful example of Umar Palanpuri, Rahmatullah, used to put it forward. Nevertheless, this is how our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with people according to their temperament. Another aspect, I don't know much, but I just...
We just want to mention that the SMS server is down. You can forward your messages to the WhatsApp number on my side, 07222, that's 07222183 84.
Jimran? No, I think people might... I'm sure there might be many people in the community who have these examples of how they've used different ways and methods to get through to different people according to their temperament. I think it's something that we might be able to gain some example. And sometimes another very important point, together with using the right flavor according to the temperament, an important aspect, especially for people who are in some sort of places or positions of authority. is to use the right person for the right task.
Exactly.
And I think this is the next topic speaks about that. And I think it's such an important point. The next topic doesn't speak about the right flavor. One is, we give examples. Nabi saw some dealing with Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, because she was extrovert, dealing differently with Khatija radiallahu ta'ala, and with regard to Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Karim saw some dealing differently with Abu Bakr and Umar in a particular case in terms of his formality and informality compared to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an when he became formal. Then we give an example with regard to this aspect of Abu Bakr and Umar. Now, let us look at another example. This is now using the right flavor according to the temperament of people. And maybe listeners can give examples with regard to how they found this. But also using the right person for the right time and according to the appropriate circumstances. So in the time of the Battle of Badr, which obviously was one of the most important battle in the history of Islam, because that was Yawm al-Furqan, the distinguishing factor between right and wrong, between vice and virtue, between truth and falsehood. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that there were certain people who were forcibly brought to the battle on behalf of the Quraysh, although in their hearts they were Muslims. Like people like Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the uncle of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who according to many historians was a Muslim, but Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam strategically had told him to remain behind in Makkah and to conceal his iman and to inform Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the doings of the people of Makkah, because obviously that time there was a cold or a formal war between the Muslims and the Quraysh of Makkah. And he said, whoever sees Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hashim bin al-Harith, then he should not kill him. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, on the eve of the Battle of Badr, specific instructions to the Sahaba, that if you see Abu al-Hasan, Abu al-Bakhtari ibn Hashim, and if you see Abbas in the battle, do not kill them, because they are Muslims at heart, and for whatever reasons Allah Ta'ala has deemed that they must remain in Makkah for the purpose of strategy, etc. And at that time, Utbah bin Rabi was also one of the leaders of the Quraysh. And he was amongst those who was leading the battle against the Muslim. His son, Abu Hudhayfa bin Utbah bin Rabi, was a Muslim and a sincere believer. A remarkable, very great, devoted and loyal Sahabi and companion of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he at that time, when he heard this command, he was slightly upset. So he said, shall we kill our fathers, our sons and our brothers, while we spare Abbas? By Allah, if I see him in the battlefield, I shall strike him with my sword. Now, he did it because, I suppose, he also, on one hand, he knew that he was devoted to Islam, he needs to do what needs to be done. And of course, we know that many examples of Badr were in that situation. The son of Abu Bakr, Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, later on also tell Abu Bakr that many a times you came under my sword in the Battle of Badr, I thought of you as my father, I left you. And Abu Bakr turned back and said, oh my son, if you had come once under my sword in the Battle of Badr, I would have killed you.
Allah.
Not because I wouldn't have looked upon you as my son, I would have looked upon you as someone who opposed the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that regard, there is no other relationship that mattered. But yet, at this particular time, there were people. And of course, Utbah bin Rabi's son, Abu Hudhayfa, was in the same situation. If he had met his father, he would have killed him because of his devotion to Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when these words reached Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Abu Hudhayfa bin Utbah bin Rabi was saying, should we leave behind our fathers and we should kill our fathers and leave Abbas? If I see Abbas on the battlefield, I will immediately kill him. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard this, and this was on the eve of the battle, where you cannot allow any difference of opinion, any slackening of obedience to the leader in a battlefield situation. And that is why traditionally, people who opposed a leader outside the battle, there were different rules for them. And someone who opposed the general in a battle, what was it? Treason. And the punishment for treason was ultimately death. So there's a difference in terms of obedience in normal situations and obedience in the battlefield. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that he could not allow such a sentiment to prevail when you are about to go into the greatest of all battles. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, Umar said the first time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me by the name of Abul Hafs, reference to Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala, Abul Hafs, is the face of the uncle or the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appropriate for it to be struck with a sword.
Mm-hmm.
Abul Hafs is the face of the uncle of the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it the right place for it to be struck with a sword?
Mm-hmm.
And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that Umar radiallahu ta'ala was the right person to approach at this juncture. And then he said, Umar said, by Allah, this was the first time ever the messenger gave me this title and called me by Abul Hafs. And Umar understood the messenger. He knew that they were about to fight a battle and there was no position to allow anyone to disobey the order of the leaders or argue in front of the other fighters. Thus Umar chose a stern solution. He said, O Messenger of Allah, allow me to strike off the person's neck who had suggested something that seemed against your orders. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stopped him and saw that the threat alone was enough to quell the situation.
Mm.
Subhanallah. Chose the right person to give the right message at the right time. So not only do you use the right temperament and the right flavor according to people's temperament, you use the right person at the right time. So for example, you have some sort of dispute with someone in the family. Now you know amongst your children, there is someone who is diplomatically inclined.
Mm.
And you know someone who is inclined towards anger. Now if you want to mend relationship with someone, who are you going to choose? You're going to choose that son who speaks gently to be able to go and quell the situation. And you send him to go and speak to your uncle or go and speak to your brother. That, listen, go and bring that particular message of peace so the family can be maintained. So use the right person for the right situation. And of course, another example of that was in the Battle of Hudaybiyah, when Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to send Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, Ya Rasulullah, if you send me, I will go. But the task that you are sending for is a path of peace and diplomacy.
Mm.
So you need someone who is inclined towards peace and diplomacy to be able to go and give that type of message to the people of Makkah.
Mm.
Whereas I am naturally stern, the Quraysh hate me because of my sternness. So you want to give a message that we have come for Umrah, we haven't come to fight, and you're going to send me, they're going to see me, they're just going to become even more angry. So the purpose that you are trying to achieve will not be achieved.
Mm.
So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam understood the situation and he sent Uthman. And Uthman could not have been a better choice. No one could have been a better choice than Uthman. Because the people of Arabia, they loved Uthman because of his generosity. And of course, Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya makes mention that before Islam, the mothers of the Quraysh used to lull their babies to sleep by saying, Oh my baby, go and sleep. I love you as much as the Quraysh love Uthman ibn Affan. So look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam chose right people to do specific tasks.
Well, here's a message coming through. It reads, Assalamu alaikum. Sorry to trouble. What dua may I read for a mom-in-law that's very vulgar?
SubhanAllah. No. The thing is that, firstly, use the right flavor as we're trying to make mention.
Hmm.
The other thing, just read those ayats which have Ya Rahmanu, Ya Rahimu, Ya Wadud, is something that we should try and read from time to time whenever we fear someone's oppression. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadan alladhi mala'ata qalbahu min jalalika wa aynayhi min jamalik fa'asbaha farihan masrooran mu'ayyalan mansooran biyadih. I remember reading in one of the books of Darood that this particular Darood should be read when you fear someone is going to be prone towards anger. I will write that down, inshallah.
Here's another message, Malana. It reads, Assalamu alaikum, Malana. There is a Gujarati saying, Garak joine pare ku banwano.
Garak joine pare ku banwano. Subhanallah.
Yes, using diplomacy wherever possible and trying to use the person's strong point and using it as to your advantage when you are conversing with people. Like Malala, there was a youngster in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had a bird, and we mentioned this previously yes. also. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to ask him, Ya Umar, ma fa'al al-Nughayr? Oh Umar, what happened to your small bird? So he's asking him about a bird, and now you might be thinking, the Prophet of Allah, he's worried about Qiyamah, every person needs to be saved from Jahannam. He doesn't have time for such frivolous questions. But he's taking out time to say, how is your bird doing, Malala?
Yes, Ya Aba Umar, ma fa'al al-Nughayr. Subhanallah, just the right words and the right attitude towards the right people. Now, obviously, if you are going to speak to a youngster, then you are not going to speak about serious matters. And if you are going to speak to an elder person, sometimes, unless, of course, an elder person happens to be like me, maybe, where you can sit and talk and joke about them. I think it's a marvelous quality. I think it is a good quality to be able to find the right temperament and the right flavor, the right words, according to the right environment. And I don't know how it is going to be, but I think it's a remarkable quality to be able to have. I don't know how people find it. Some people might just be stern all the time. Just be stern all the time. So there's no room in their temperament to be able to have jokes. And some people are just so jokey that you can't talk anything seriously. Which obviously is also not the right thing, because then of course you are looked upon as just a mere toy and people don't take you seriously. So how do you get that right balance to be able to find the right flavor to deal with people according to their temperaments? And of course this example is not only about finding the right flavor to deal with people according to their temperaments, is finding the right person to do the right task. Now this is such a great example and lesson and inspiration for people who are in authority, people who are teachers in a class. Which child do you use for what? Right? People who have many children, which child do you use for what? People who are managers of business, which employee do you use to do what task? I think it's important. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew what kind of task he could expect Umar radiallahu anhu to perform. So he used Umar radiallahu anhu to bring about discipline in the Battle of Badr with regard to Abu Hudhaifa bin Utbah bin Rabi. On the other hand, if we just conclude that particular aspect, Abu Hudhaifa bin Utbah bin Rabi was a righteous man who afterwards used to say, I do not feel at ease due to the words I uttered at that day, and continued to be terrified until I felt martyrdom will expiate my sins for what I had spoken in front of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, I was martyred on the day of Yamama.
Let's take the final caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jee, my brother.
Malala, I just got a question to ask. How do I go about my late brother? Apparently he was divorced from his first wife, and he remarried again, and apparently he always told his second wife, my children are so and so ignorant and so forth. But it came to a time in such stage that he was very sick and he passed away. But prior to that he was in his senses when he made a will, and he did everything. But the second wife that he's married to, she doesn't seem to understand anything, or she's ignorant that the kids get nothing. So how do I go about it?
Well, I think there are two aspects. One is the formal aspect and one is the informal. The formal aspect, see, whatever a person leaves behind in terms of his children, they are from the Shari point of view, you cannot exclude them from what is rightfully theirs. So no matter how much emotions come into play, what is due to them from the Shari point of view must be given to them, no matter what emotions. No matter what your emotions, what is due to whoever, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has sounded very great warnings of cutting people out from estates. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he who deprives a person from his rightful share, Allah will deprive him of Jannah. So that is one of the formal aspects. And I think that is something that no one, and even in your situation, you should see to it, if you have any influence in the matter, that they get what is rightfully theirs in terms of the inheritance. Has a brother passed away?
Because it's a complex issue, we're going to ask you to refer to the Jamiat, inshallah.
No, but I think just to give broad guidelines, let me just sort of give, I think the broad guidelines are there. Since I don't want to speak specifically, but for example, let me just say this much. If, for example, in a situation quoted, and many times people will be faced with a similar type of situations, given what is happening, what is due to people in terms of the legacy, inheritance, must be given to them. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is warned that he would deprive people here, Allah Ta'ala will deprive him of Jannah. But on the other hand, in terms of informal situation, I always feel that kindness is something that always, even after whatever has happened. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had several wives. One was the mother of Asma radiallahu anha. I think her name was Qatila. And one was Roman, the mother of Aisha radiallahu anha. When Asma radiallahu anha's mother came to visit her, and she was not a Muslim, Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam told, look after your mother, even if she's not a Muslim.
Mm.
So all I'm saying is that, so informally, whatever needs to be given to people, you can't deprive them. Informally, try and always maintain relationship. Don't, inna husnul ahdi min al iman. Maintaining relationships is part of iman. Yes, if you feel bitter over what has happened for whatever reason, rightly or wrongly, cut down relationships to a bare minimum, but don't break off relationships.
It brings us to the closure of today's program. Lots of messages, we were unable to take them. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with the same topic, and also we'll pick up on other issues, like for example, adapting to the new times. Mulana, maybe we can just squeeze it in quickly. Like you see, Mulana Baum has adapted to the new times, like he is on social media, everything, and he's able to connect and converse with people. So to the caller who called earlier and said, the olden days, I understand, I appreciate that sentiment, but you have to also understand that people have moved on and they are conversing, they're still conversing, but on a different platform. So if the sister can get in touch with WhatsApp, we have listeners who are WhatsApping us, they are in the 60s and 70s, they are able to get through to us. People who only use the phone, they can't get through to us and they get frustrated. So adapting to the different means and according to the times will even make a big difference. That's a message we'll end off on, inshallah. It's 10 o'clock, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.